And welcome to another episode of Worst Collection Ever. This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence, and it just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean.
And R.I.P. Meltdown Comics.
R.I.P. Meltdown Comics, as you can
I posted tell something about posts. It. Yeah, I posted something about it on the Facebook page. LA Institution, I think it's been there for about 25 years.
Definitely 20, at least 20.
I think they said 25 in the stuff I was reading. But home of the Nerdist Theater, home of the places like the Meltdown with Jonah and Kumail. And, you know, it's kind of an L.A. institution. And now it is no more.
Well, yeah.
Well, apparently, as of the end of the month, end of March.
The end of the month, they're going to be closing their doors for the final time. And the news came pretty sudden, like last week. Like, this is basically like, yeah, we're closing. Goodbye.
Yeah, we're closing at the end of the month. Bye. It's like they had maybe 2 weeks.
No.
The rumor is it's going to be ripped down that whole little stretch there and turn into condos. I don't know if that's true. I haven't seen any actual proof behind that, but that's the word on the street.
Well, it's funny because one of, you know, I was talking to one of our, I posted this, and one of our friends was like, hey, what's going on? Does not make enough money? And I was like, I don't know. I heard it's going to be condos. And it's like, well, maybe they'll show up somewhere else. And from what I understand, that's not the case.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was reading in one of the posts, maybe it was like Emily Gordon or something. It's done. Like, they're just not going to move it somewhere else. Like, because somebody was like, oh, we need to save it. You know, we need to find another place for it. And they were like, no, it's done.
Yeah, they don't want to do it anymore.
I guess not.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can't blame them. I mean, the Meltdown, you know, it's a comic book store. It's super hip. It's never been one of my favorite places.
Yeah, not
I've always thought it was way too expensive.
Yeah, yes.
But, you know, I buy cheap garbage, so I am not the best barometer for this sort of thing.
Yeah.
Never been one of my favorite stores, but it is unique and cool and, you know, different. It's definitely different.
It's definitely like, well, that's the thing that, you know, I like about going to different comic book stores is kind of just trying to figure out, like, you know, whatever identity is that they have. And Meltdown was, you know, in a class by itself because of its affiliation with Nerdist, because of the theater, because of its location, which, I mean, right in the middle of Hollywood.
Yes, like, right off Sunset.
Right off Sunset, right across, you know, like pretty much like almost right across the street, if not, you know, right down the street from the Guitar Center.
Yes, that, you know, big-ass Guitar Center.
Big-ass Guitar Center, which, you know, in itself is another institution, you know, because, I mean, shit, I'm like, can you imagine how many fucking rock bands, you know, and musicians have come through those halls looking, you know, those that place trying to look for, you know, bands and stuff like that, or just, you know, gear and you know, crew, you know, people to jam with. I always, you know, enjoyed going there sometime, you know, most of the time, just to kind of just take it in, even though it's in terms of it being a store, but I mean in terms of like
for our purposes,
you know, as comic book people, it doesn't really work, but
yeah,
you know,
for how we
embrace comics.
Yeah.
It's not quite where we would be at.
You know, it was for me, it's way too expensive for my blood.
Well, that's the thing. Is like, I literally was like, because they're doing 50% off of
everything
in the store. And they have, you know, all their back issues and all their books and everything like that. And
which they don't really have a ton of back issues, and they never really, at least, okay, in my experience, they never really did. Yeah. I feel like because a lot of their floor space was taken up with other stuff, especially as its affiliation with the Nerdist grew.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And there's a lot of different celebrity contributions.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of artists, you know, them being, you know, for providing like artists and statues and stuff like that. They had like a, you know, this cachet of like loose toys and like statues and stuff like that. I think we've talked about it a few weeks ago with Daughtry going there to purchase the.
You mean in our imaginations, Daughtry went there to purchase the cyborg superpower,
which I think if it was still there, I probably would have bought it
because it would have been 50% off.
Yeah, I probably would.
It was $75.
I probably would have picked. Yeah, but I mean, it's nonetheless.
But I mean, we did want to go say our goodbyes to this, you know, this LA institution, see if we could find anything fun. I did get 2 grab bags.
Uh-huh.
Which were actually 2 for 1, so that's kind of exciting. So I got like 10 comics for, well, like $2.50 or something. There are a bunch of new ones.
Yeah.
But maybe something we could look at later. Telly, really?
Yeah, a lot of new stuff. That's the one thing that I was always, I always expect from, grab bags. It's like, well, maybe we'll get some new stuff or some old stuff.
I like the old stuff. Give me that old stuff. But again, their back issues were never really... They had some on the wall that were older, but they were so expensive.
Well, especially I don't think they're so much expensive as...
Well, that just... one Superboy Legion one was like $75 or something, and I was like,
I feel like we're being kind of too negative about them.
No, I'm not saying... I'm just saying for my blood, it was a little too expensive.
Right.
For me.
Well, but
I'm sure other people are like, that's how much it's worth, Jen. Shut your fucking mouth.
Yeah,
and fair enough. But... For stuff, for me spending money, it was too expensive.
Yeah. But I ended up getting, because I was going to get, there's two things. There was the first appearance of Adam Warlock.
Yes.
That was hanging out there. Or one of his first appearances. I can't remember which exact issue it was, but it was one of the ones that, was pretty much like his debut.
Uh huh.
And I was thinking about getting it because I was like, oh great, but it was just like, it wasn't like graded, it was just like in just a sleeve, like it was literally just like, but it wasn't the book wasn't in the best condition,
right?
And I'm assuming that particular issue will probably be more valuable come once Guardians of the Galaxy or whenever Adam Warlock shows up in the Marvel movies, but but I didn't get it because one day I'm going to read it and I'm going to get it in a best part of a collection. But,
sure.
But there's also that, and there's also I kind of fell in love with it, but I realized that I shouldn't buy it because I don't need it.
I know.
So there's a company called Chalkline Official that creates these old jackets that basically were like the satin starter jackets.
Yep.
From back in the 80s, and they create a lot of coats, like a lot of jackets and apparel that looks like, the old graphic coats. Just go to their site, look up Chalkline Apparel, Chalkline Official or something like that, and just look at some of the apparel they have, and you already know what I'm talking about. And they had a NWO Wolfpack jacket that was an XL, and you know me. I can't fit into shit.
That's not true.
No, it's true.
No, it's...
I have a hard time.
You do have long arms, so that makes your life difficult because you'll put something on and, it's way too short for your arms.
Yeah, and I'm very particular about
that. And you also have the same problem with your legs. I, too, have this problem, so I get it.
I'm very particular about that because I like having... if I'm wearing a shirt, I'd like it to, if it's got, cuffs on it or something, or if it's kind of like if it's a dress shirt or something, I'd like it to fit exactly the length that it is.
Right. So if you stretch out your arms.
If I stretch my arms, I don't have it peeling back all the way, or, I don't like it being too baggy. And this fit really well.
Yeah.
This jacket fit really well. And I was thinking about getting it. And, it was like $130 and, it's 50% off, but I was like, I just don't need it. But Jen did buy some grab bags.
I did. I bought some grab bags. I also bought a trade, which I was very excited about. Batman Brave and the Bold Bronze Age Volume 1.
Right. And this is something that, again, this kind of goes back to the point where we go and look at trades and we forget that they put – we don't realize that they put some stuff out.
I forgot they existed. And I know I've seen them before and I've been like, oh, shit, I want to get those.
Yeah.
Because that's right up my alley.
What's great about this is that it's not the showcase ones that are black and white, which, those are great if you want to read them, if that's cool with you being black and white, because I have an Eclipso one and I think I have one or two others, but these are in color and these are, prime Bob Haney.
Yeah.
Bat shit stuff with, him, Batman hanging out with, I think it's in the Metamorpho era.
Oh, there's all sorts of crazy shit.
Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff in there. So that one, I have a feeling we'll be doing something from that one.
Yeah, absolutely. Just because I was already reading it. I got through one and I was like, oh man, it's already crazy. Because it was him and the Metalman.
Oh man, see, I'm gonna plow through that too.
Yeah.
I'm gonna probably indulge in that because I'm very excited for that. And then for what I picked up it's a volume, it's the latest volume that came out of the packaging of Uncanny Avengers. And the reason why I got it is because it has Wonder Man and Beast on the cover.
Right.
And it's from an issue of the Uncanny Avengers that I did purchase, a single issue.
Mm-hmm.
I never got around to reading it. And
it's one of the new ones.
It's right? one of the brand new ones. Yeah, I was like, it came out, like the issue, you know, itself is, you know, came out like last year.
Yeah.
Or maybe, I don't remember when it came out, but it was, you know, it was pretty recent. And I was like, well, you know, I saw this and it was, you know, like a couple, you know, it was a couple issues compiled, you know, and I decided to check it out. And I actually really liked it.
Yeah.
The Uncanny Avengers have, it's basically, it's post Hydra Steve Rogers.
I'm sorry, he bit me.
And you.
Sorry.
It's post Hydra Steve Rogers, and everybody's digging out from all that stuff. And the team consists of Rogue, Brother Voodoo, Quicksilver, Synapse, who is a Inhuman, Human Torch, and Wonder Man and Beast, and I think I'm forgetting somebody. But it was a pretty good book. Basically, Johnny Storm becomes a billionaire because apparently he is one of the only people left at this point after the Fantastic Four went away. And he got to have the rights, or he got all the money from all of Reed's patents.
Okay.
So now he's like a billionaire.
All right.
And what's her face? Scarlet Witch is like getting fresh with Brother Voodoo.
Well, that's right.
Because like, you know, he did save her, and there's no Vision around, and Wonder Man's around, and Wonder Man wants to kick it with her, but she's not feeling Wonder Man as I found out recently, apparently, because Wonder Man was exploded like way back in the 90s, by a Kree cannon in the first issue of Forceworks, and him and Wanda always had a thing because. Right. His brain patterns were used to create Vision.
Right.
And, you know, and there's a whole deal with that. But he ended up coming back because something, oh God, I can't remember what happened. Something about Deadpool, Rogue kissed Deadpool because I can't remember. There's something how Rogue kissed Deadpool and she had Wonder Man in her and it came out. And he became his ionic form again. Don't ask me.
Yeah, whatever.
But that's what happened.
Okay.
Something like that happened, and now he's back.
She got rid of him like she was getting rid of, like, bad clams. Right?
Bad clams. The Wonder Man story. So that basically that happened, and now he's back. And then there's, like, he's just hanging out with Beast, so, you know, I'm on board.
Oh, yeah. That's your bromance.
And it's funny because they kind of, like, Beast and Wonder Man is my bromance.
It is. You just love it.
It is my definitive bromance. I will always... I don't write anything, but I will ship them.
Sure.
I think that is my ship.
Yeah, but like a platonic ship.
They're awesome together, mm-hmm. and it's kind of funny. And maybe we'll even do this for the show because, you know, I don't mind doing new stuff for the show. They go to a bar to have a beer, and they kind of like catch up on like what's been going on with them. Like Beast has been going through some shit too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where like he was this dark Beast and he helped Captain America and the Hydra thing and just all this stuff going on with him. And it's messed up.
Like, yeah.
Marvel's messed up.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
For all the shit people talk about DC, Marvel's really fucking messed up too, guys.
Yeah, Marvel's way messed up. And don't cut them any slack.
No. No one gets slack.
That's what pisses me off because they Marvel, and I think a lot of people are catching up to that.
Uh huh.
Where it's like, oh geez, DC's so confusing. They just keep starting over. Nobody knows what's going on. So what are you talking about? Fucking Cap.
Marvel's a mess.
Marvel's a fucking mess. They're restarting Captain America every week.
Oh, the X-Men like is almost impenetrable at this point. You're just like, what?
I can't. I mean, I have a hard time believing that all the stuff that's been going on is supposed to be within the same universe.
Yeah.
Over the years,
but that's why they did like the Ultimate Universe and the, you know, all that sort of shit, and the Hydra stuff, and everybody got pissed off at that. They didn't, you know.
Yeah, and so. then they
And then it's like, it just didn't happen.
I like how they did something like that with Captain America as if, like, it was going to be okay.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is...
They're like, people are going to like this.
Super edgy, and you're like,
and then everybody was like, no, bro. This sucks. And he's like, oh, yeah, we're just kidding. That's all
LOL
they do.
LOL jokes.
That's all comics is. Basically, it's a bunch of comic, a bunch of fucking weirdos being like, wouldn't it be funny if Captain America was like
fucking Nazi bro.
A fucking Nazi bro. And he was like, Hail Hydra and shit. Okay. Yeah, right. You know, draw. Oh,
and
there you go.
People are like, whoa, what the fuck? This is totally against everything this character has stood for the past 75 years. And they're like, oh, just kidding.
Yeah, we're just kidding. It was for lols. See, here he is again. Looks
totally
back.
For lols. So, but yeah, so you got that. And you also got what the trade we're going to read an issue of today.
Oh, yeah. I thought I got to the point where I talked about it, but I did not. We're going to read from a trade. It's just Drax, Guardian of the Galaxy. And so there's kind of a caveat with this book after I purchased it, that I already have a lot of these stories and other things.
Oh, okay.
There's a few things in here that I don't have. But I am a Drax man, an early Drax man.
Okay.
I think there's a few of us.
All right, fair enough.
Because everybody loves Drax from his, you know, the Guardians of the Galaxy and all the stuff that he's, you know, he's come from like that. But I am...
an early Drax man.
I am an OG Drax guy. Guardians, the Warlock and the Infinity Watch, you know, I am fascinated by that. I'm fascinated by, you know, all of his stuff early on, you know, coming that we're going to read from here. And a lot of this book covers that. You know, a lot of Captain Marvel in here, you know, a lot of just stuff like that. And I didn't realize that I had a lot of these. Because it was the thing. We were in the store, and I was like, okay, I really want to get something. And I saw this, because I like when they do things like this.
Yeah.
When Marvel will just be like, hey, we got a character, and we're just putting a bunch of bullshit for them in a book, because people can read it, and people can check it out.
Right.
You know, people can be like, oh, man, I didn't know this about this character. You know, I get to read these old stories, because... I think they're not going to check it out. They may not find it otherwise.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's
they're
hard
not like
to,
us.
Well, not only that, but I mean, like, you know, you really, let's say you really loved Drax. You're 22 years old, Guardians of the Galaxy. You just loved it. You loved Drax. And now you got to try to figure out what issues he's been in, because you want to know his whole story.
Yeah.
So either you try to hunt down all these old, like, issues. Maybe some of them are digital. Maybe some of them aren't.
Yeah.
Or maybe you have to get a bunch of different collections. Or you could just get this cool thing they just put out with all of them.
Yeah, well, there's a lot in here. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in here that, like I said, it laps over. But I'm glad to have it. And so we'll be reading from that today. And it kind of bums you out when I have something that I have already a lot of.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like, I still like it.
Sure.
So I'm not going to complain. Like, and there's no way I'm going to go back and be like, excuse me, Meltdown Comics, I already had these.
Can I return? Everybody's bringing their dogs, too.
Yeah, I know. It was a dog-happy event at Meltdown Comics.
No, everybody's bringing their puppies. I was like, I want a puppy. There was a guy with a huge white puppy who was huge and so fluffy and so good. He just sat there. He was a good dog.
Yeah, all the little dogs were being shitty.
Little dogs were barking at each other, but this big dog was just like, whatevs. And I was like, oh, I love him.
He's like, I'm big and handsome. Hello.
He was very handsome.
Or maybe it was a girl. I don't know.
Oh, it could have been a she.
It was a very, very, very,
very pretty dog.
Very beautiful dog.
Yes.
Very white.
Oh, yeah. So, like, pristine.
I know.
Like, how often do you have to bathe that dog?
How is that possible, too, when you're walking this dog through Hollywood?
Right? That dog should be, like, brown. Just covered in filth and garbage. It just collects when you go to Hollywood.
Just a little, a nice hearty soot.
Yeah, because, you know, and I think we've said it on the show before, you know, people give New York a real hard time for being a dirty ass city.
Yeah, which it is.
Which it is. But, dude, Hollywood's fucking filthy.
Yeah.
There's no trash cans.
Yeah, well, so that's what pissed me off. That's what pissed me off.
They're everywhere. It's just trash.
The other day, we went to the store, you know, to the Meltdown, where we're like, I had my coffee cup, and I'm like, all right, I want to throw this out. There should just be maybe a trash can somewhere on the street, you know, nearby this place, especially at a place near Meltdown where a lot of people are going by.
Yep. Nope.
Nope. No trash can. So I was like, where am I going to put this? I don't fucking know. Yeah, so it's bullshit.
Eventually, we did find one in Meltdown itself, but outside on the street, you're like, no, there's nothing.
Yeah,
toss it on the ground, guys, because that's where it's gonna go.
But yeah, one thing I want to say about Meltdown, though, the theater has been site for
so much stuff,
for a bunch of stuff, that we've actually been we've actually participated in.
Yeah,
that have been, or at least had ties to, that has been really cool. Particularly a few live events with Comedy Film Nerds.
Yep, they had their, they wrote a book.
That's right, they had the book release party.
And they had the book release party there.
The Comedy Film Nerds Guide to Movies. Which we edited.
Yes, which we helped edit. And that was their book release party was there. at Meltdown in the back room there.
And they had
all their... that cake, and they had all the people who did writing for it, you know, like Jackie Cation and who Alan Havey, I think,
Alan Havey was there. Susie Nakamura.
Yeah.
Probably Mike Schmidt was there.
Did Greg Proops come?
No, he was the one that didn't come.
He was on the road.
I think he was the one everybody wanted because everybody wanted his autograph, but he wasn't there.
But he was on the road or something.
Yeah, he was obviously, he was pretty busy, so.
But yeah, so like, just, it was,
and also, oh, go ahead.
No, it was just, you know, that happened there.
Well, I was going to say, that was the place where you got to meet Dean Haglund, too.
That's right, Dean Haglund. Yes, I was a big X-Files fan, so I did get to meet Dean Haglund, and I wasn't crazy.
No, Dean, you're very well behaved around Dean Haglund.
I wasn't like, hey, let's talk about the X-Files. Hey, you want to talk about the X-Files?
Because you could talk about the X-Files.
Because, oh my God, like forever. But I don't think Dean Haglund wants to talk about the X-Files because that's probably the only thing people want to talk to him about.
One of my favorite things in that book is Dean Haglund tells a story about how his agent passed on for him a role as an elf.
Oh, that's in Lord of the Rings.
It was just like, yeah, it's some bullshit, whatever. You don't want to do it.
And he was like, what?
And then he found out, and then it went on to become, like, gigantic.
Yeah. And not only that, but he's a big dork, so I'm sure he would have been like, oh, my God.
Yeah, he kind of lost out there, and he's like, yeah, I fired that guy.
Yeah, well. So, that happened. You know, we've seen a bunch of stuff there.
Well, we've seen, was it the set list?
Set list a couple times, which is really fun. We saw Dave Anthony do his one-man show there.
Yes.
You went
to... Which Patton Oswalt opened for.
Which, yes, and Patton Oswalt. Did we saw a dollop there?
No, wait. Yes?
Did we?
We were supposed to go see a Walking in the Room and we didn't go.
We did not go. I feel like we did see a dollop.
Did we see a dollop?
I don't know. I've seen the dollop a couple times, but I know they've done it at Meltdown. So I'm was it there? Because I do remember... I feel like we did because Patton was on it. And they were sitting.
Okay. Yeah. True.
And I don't know why else they would have been sitting.
Maybe you're probably right. Yeah. I mean, there was also I think our first time I was ever there was shortly after we moved here, and your buddy Tyler.
Oh shit! My buddy Tyler from Battleship. I went to high school with Tyler from Battleship Pretension.
Yeah.
And we had gone to see something else.
No, it was his show.
No. We went to see something else. There was something else going on, and we went, and I was like, oh yeah, Tyler. I don't remember.
No. We had to go see his show because that was the first thing.
That's one of the first things we ever did when we got here.
And I remember, it was even before that, we moved out here. And like one of my buddy, Tom Tran, whose podcast I did do, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll, you can check that out. Or Sex, Drugs, and Jokes, excuse me. Sex, Drugs, and Jokes, you can check that out. I'm on that one episode a couple months back. He had like a bachelor party for a friend of his.
Yes.
And I went there and I made friends with a comedian. His name was Ed, not Ed Greer, but this other cat named Ed. I forgot his last name. He was talking. We got to talking, and he was mentioning about Meltdown, how he participated in comics on comics.
Yes,
or maybe it was comics and comics, because those are two things.
Yeah, there's two separate ones.
There's a comics and comics, which is
comedians talking about comics.
It's a comedian. It's a stand-up show based around comedian. You know, based around comics.
And it would be so confusing because usually comics on comics and comics and comics would do events at usually the same conventions.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And they were like, at the same time.
Yeah.
Comics
on Comics, of course, is the podcast that we have been on ourselves, both me and Jen, and our good friends Vito and Juan have participated in. And so, yeah, they used to do shows there in the past, and, you know, and so that's where I heard about, like, I just knew there was all these ties there. Because it was always like, hey, man, there's, like, this comedy place in the back of a comic book store. There's a comedy shows in the back of a comic book store.
Yeah.
You know, and oh, my God, and, you know, just like, this is going to be great. You know, I wasn't as into comics as I am now.
Right.
But it was like, oh, that's very interesting.
Yeah.
Because that's a very unique place. It didn't occur to me that this was what was going on there. And it was very early on.
Before it became the Nerdist Theater, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is like before, like...
It was a couple of years before that.
Yeah, a couple of years before that. And yeah, I mean, it was just kind of cool. We saw a couple things there. Definitely. I'm trying to remember. I feel like there was something.
Well, I went to a art gallery of wrestling themed art.
That's right. And then you also went to see, there was like a wrestling.
The wrestling going in Raw, Wrestling with Regret.
Yeah, that was recently whenever there was like a pay-per-view in town and a bunch of those guys came in to do shows.
We've been to other things there, haven't we?
We've been to see a couple things there. And I just don't remember.
I feel like
just
people's like stand-up specials or people like doing stand-up that we were like, oh, we'll go see them.
Yeah. I know we definitely saw the set list at least twice.
Yeah.
I feel like we saw it twice. I know we saw Dave Anthony. I feel like I saw Greg Proops do stuff there a bunch.
No, I feel like we maybe might have saw him do World's Smartest Man.
You know what? You're probably right, because we saw him do World's Smartest Man at the Bar Lubitsch.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. We
and
did,
at the Improv as well.
And at the Improv, but you're right. We did see him do it at Meltdown.
Was the Bar Lubitsch one? Was that the
that
very...
was the very first one, yes.
So we were at... I don't even know if he still does the show. I think
you know
he probably
what?
Does.
I think he might. I haven't looked for a while because I saw it pop up on my thing. Like, I don't know why. I just, like, saw it. Maybe I was on AST, like the message board or something. And I saw...
I don't even know if that exists anymore.
I don't either. But this is back. This is when we first got here. And I was like, I love Greg Proops. I've loved him since he was on Whose Line. And I was like, holy shit, he's doing this thing. It's in Bar Lubitsch. It's like right down the street, you know, comparatively. And I was like, let's go.
Yeah,
so
let's go
we did. And then, yeah. I feel like he might still be doing it. I don't know.
Yeah. So some Bar Lubitsch is some like, random ass bar.
Like vodka bar.
It's a vodka bar, which it was in, it's on.
It's on Sunset.
No, it's not.
It's not?
It's on Santa Monica.
Oh, okay.
It's on Santa Monica the opposite way from WeHo.
Yeah, it's
and
down
you,
that way.
You go the other way, and it's towards there, and I've only been there once. We've only been to that once.
Yeah.
But I also remember it being used in a sketch with Zoe Saldana and Kate Bosworth that I watched.
Huh.
Because I was like, oh, I know that place.
Okay. I don't remember this.
Yeah, it was like this one where they're talking in kids' voices.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
It was like a Funny or Die sketch. Because
sure.
That's what Funny or Die is, I guess.
I know. Why not?
That's what Funny or Die is basically like, why not?
Yeah.
Hey, you can get a celebrity to fart on your camera?
Yeah, you want
to
do something stupid? Come on in.
Hey, we're going to pour beef stroganoff on Big Pussy's head. You know, and this is going to be, we're going to put it out as a sketch. You guys in? Oh, I'm in.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah. Hey, that sounds like a good idea. Hope you guys can, if you guys want that, you want to find Vincent Pastore.
He's dead.
No, he's not.
He's not dead?
I think he's still alive.
Oh, I thought he died.
Oh, maybe he did die.
I thought he did.
Ooh, possibly R.I.P. Vincent Pastore.
Yeah, I don't have my phone or I'd look. I feel like, didn't he die?
I don't know which... Well, Tony... Okay, James Gandolfini's passed
away. Absolutely, he died, yes.
Robert Loggia. I'm talking about Sopranos people, but I mean, these are like... He wasn't a major character. He passed away.
But yeah, Robert Loggia was like a million years old. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. Sorry, baby.
Man, if there's only one way to check, but...
I could go get my phone and look.
No,
we can take a break.
Let's take a break. Let's leave you in suspense to find out which Sopranos members have passed away. And we'll come back and we'll do our book for this week.
Warlord Worlds,
a fan podcast devoted to the comics of writer and artist Mike Grell, including The Warlord, John Sable, Green Arrow, Star Slayer, and Shaman's Tears.
I'm Ruth.
And I'm Darren.
Please join us as we discuss the stories, characters, and art in the many excellent comics from writer and artist Mike Grell.
Special episodes feature interviews with Mike Grell himself.
And special segments feature great guests discussing the Legion of Superheroes.
Listen at Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and YouTube.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or visit warlordworlds.com.
Warlord Worlds is part of the Rad Adventures Network at radadventuresnetwork.com.
All right, we're back here on Worst Collection Ever with our book for this week. It is Iron Man number 55 from February 1973. And you had something.
Oh, I do. I have a programming note. Vincent Pastore is alive as of this recording.
Yes.
71.
Good to know.
Good. Not dead.
Yeah.
Not dead.
I think you were mistaking him for Frank Vincent.
That's possible.
Who played?
I don't know people.
He played somebody. He passed on the. He played a big role on the Sopranos. I can't want to say Simpsons, but Sopranos. I forgot what his name was, but he was the one that he had a heart attack, and then he got his own head ran over by his own head. His head his ran over head. By his own SUV.
Oh, that's impressive.
That was how he died on the show. Even though he was in the mob and he was fighting with Tony and all that stuff, he had a heart attack at a gas station, and then his car came out of whatever
park
and ran over his own head.
Lovely.
And some dude watching it barfed. There's just some random kid just standing by with some teenager went, bleh.
I should watch that show again.
Yeah. Yeah, that was it for him.
Yeah.
I also was reminded of the time on Sopranos when AJ went to go see Mudvayne.
Oh God, really?
Well, you didn't just see it, but it was like Meadow was like, "Hey AJ, are you enjoying Mudvayne or something?"
Because Meadow was so pointless.
Because she was pointless.
I could have done without the kids. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, who gives a shit about their kids? Yeah, I care about Tony and Carmella.
Yeah, that's all I care about.
Yeah, AJ was such a.
They were both terrible. They were both terrible.
AJ was a putz.
Yeah. I was like, no. And he was stop giving these two airtime. Send them to boarding school.
He was a young new metal putz.
Pet, yes.
Too. That was the worst kind of putz. He was like, I'm into new metal, but I'm also a putz. And then the series ended with him becoming a movie producer with no credits. Like, he didn't.
That's what happens when you're in the mob.
Literally, he just went from being. He was just like, I'm in the mob. He's like, I'm a movie producer now. Goodbye. Or he wouldn't even do those because, like, Tony was like. Because he was like trying to kill himself. Do you remember that?
No. It's been so long.
He tried to kill himself because he was depressed over. I forgot what he was depressed over. And then he met some girl he used to go to high school with. Yeah. And then he became a movie producer. And he was driving a Mercedes. And that's how that show ended.
Mm.
You know, of all the shit that he went through, he just ended up becoming a movie producer. And it was basically like, yeah, all you do is you get some scripts and you find actors. That's how you do it. That's how you produce. Because I think it was like Tony or like one of his, it was Carmel, whoever freaking told him to do it. He's like, yeah, just do this. And he's like, okay. Yeah. And then there was, do you remember how that one kid turned goth and then they sent him to board and sent him to like a scared straight program?
No.
It was Vito's son.
Oh God.
Because Vito got murdered. For being, for liking guys.
Oh yeah.
And then his kid was acting out, and he took a shit in the shower, and then so they just had a bunch of dudes come in at night and be like, "Hey man, we're gonna take you to a cool place," and they just took all of his shit and sent him off because that was the concession because of the widow. You know, that was how they do it, and it's like, and they're like, "Well, we can't just like." Send him to boarding school and like, what's cheaper? It's like, oh, let's just do the scared straight thing.
Yeah.
And that's whatever it is. Cause he was goth. Cause he went from being like a regular kid, just all of a sudden just being like painting his face and shit.
Hey, it happens.
Yeah. I remember that.
I just remember Christopher sitting on what's her name's dog when he was high.
Yeah. That sucked too.
Yeah. And then she got murdered.
Yeah. And she had IBS when she got murdered. Remember that?
No.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot the IBS part.
No, because she was so stressed out because they were like,
oh, she was getting informanted.
Yeah, because she was informanted.
Yeah.
And she was like all stressed out and she was like, had IBS. She just kept on having this go place to take shits. And then fucking Polly Walnuts just took her out to the woods and shot her.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens if some dude's going to take you in the woods.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, don't go in the woods.
Especially if you're Italian. Don't ever go in the woods with a man when you're Italian.
I have lots.
Someone will kill you. You know, we should do a Sopranos podcast.
I feel like we should. I feel like we would have a lot.
It's been so long since I've seen it, so
there's got to be a Sopranos podcast.
Oh, I'm sure there is, but
probably with more people, more with more credits. What would we call it? Don't go in the woods.
Don't go in the woods. The Sopranos podcast.
Yeah.
I don't know. We should. I seriously, like episode by episode. Here we are talking about the Sopranos.
I kind of like this idea.
We have HBO. We watch it.
I'm not. I don't even know if I'm qualified to talk about Sopranos.
We're totally not. But I think we could just discuss.
That doesn't mean that you have to be qualified.
You don't have to be qualified. Did you watch?
We're not comics.
We're not qualified to do this. Did you watch it? Let's talk about it. That's all you got to do.
I haven't watched every episode.
This is how podcasting works. Did you watch or read that thing? Now you can talk about it with your friends.
Well, that's what we're going to do right now. Because
yes, it is.
Iron Man, or I guess you would say the Invincible Iron Man from number 55 from February 1973 on the cover. This we get introduced to Drax the Destroyer, or as he is just called on the cover here, the Destroyer. I think he might have appeared briefly in the previous issue of here. I don't know. Maybe I don't have the previous issue, but this is the one that they start with. There's also some other notable debuts in this issue, as we'll get to. And the reason why we're doing this too, because this is not really like a terrible book, but we can make it. I was reading it last night upon getting this book, you know, this trade, and I was like, we can talk about this. We can have some fun with this because it's dumb. It's
yes.
Cosmic dumb, you know.
Cosmic dumb.
It's cosmic dumb. You got Jim Starlin writing it. You know, he's being all weird over here. And so on the cover, you have Drax bursting through a wall because he's coming to save Iron Man from the Blood Brothers.
Basically, all I could see think of when I saw these two is just of the Bludgeon Brothers.
Yeah, that's it's kind of
gravitating. As dumb and pointless.
Well, basically, the Blood Brothers are two identical monsters that kind of look like Ben Grimm, but if instead of rocks, he was made of flesh, but he still had the same structure.
They're kind of like rock monkeys.
No,
they kind of look like a rock, like a monkey.
They are Monchichis on steroids.
They're Monchichis, 100% Monchichis, are terrifying. How did Monchichi ever become a thing? Those things are fucking scary looking.
What happened was somebody probably read this comic and was like,
"Oh, I know. I'm sorry. Cocaine.
Yeah. 80s.
There you go. That's all you need to know. It's just like cocaine. You're like, okay.
Yeah. So Monchichis on steroids, because basically they got like these giant arms and they're all hairy and they got these weird like
rock faces.
They got these weird like ridged eyebrows, but they also have like giant, they have these weird like tight froes.
Yeah. Kind of like when you spread seeds on a chia pet.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's like a chia pet on steroids, like a chia
yeah,
man.
They're weird.
Chia man.
They're weird.
Yeah, and one of them is, they're beating up on Iron Man, and Drax has come through the wall, and he's like, "Monsters, I've tracked you across galaxies for this moment, and even if you crush Iron Man, you can't stop the Destroyer." And that's basically how they would introduce him as the Destroyer, but he was also Drax, and right. Says, "The Golden Avenger battles the Titans of Saturn and learns to beware the Bludgeon Brothers."
Yeah.
There's a lot going on in that.
There is, and also, not really. That's not actually what happens in this book. He doesn't beware the Bludgeon Brothers, or the Blood here. Brothers, that they're here and they...
Did I say Bludgeon Brothers?
You did. But nobody wants to beware the Bludgeon Brothers. They're a pointless gimmick.
Poor Bludgeon Brothers.
Sorry, guys. As they're listening to the show. So yeah, there's a lot of shit going on this cover. So then the first page we have is Drax, and he is... in chains of some sort.
He's in some sort of a cosmic jail thing, and he's being held. Yeah, and he's there's the thing about this, like he's just shouting out. I think this is going on because we kind of go back a little bit and catch up. I do want to say though, he is colored slightly differently.
He is, yeah.
He's a little bit more of a indigo.
Yeah, he's
purple.
More bluey in this cover, and over here he's definitely purple.
Yeah, he's definitely purple. I kind of like this indigo one here.
Yeah, I like that too.
Because the classic Drax is, I like the classic Drax a lot. I am a big fan of his outfit. I have tried.
He
multiple...
does not look like Batista.
No, he doesn't. But I would like to see Batista wear this. If Batista just showed up and it's like, this is what I look like now in this movie as Drax, I'd be like, fuck yeah. because maybe we'll get my Infinity Watch movie too.
Maybe.
Because we already have Gamora. You already have Drax. You already have Adam Warlock. We just need Pip, who I think is going to be, that's good. That's who Peter Dinklage is going to play.
Okay.
And then you need Moondragon, which I'm surprised she hasn't shown up yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then you need...
Wait, wasn't she at the very end?
No.
She was hanging out with Stallone? She wasn't in that?
That's Starhawk.
Oh.
Which is two chicks.
Okay.
Two guys. I don't know. It's not.
There were a bunch of different people in there. So I was like, wait, was she in part of that? I don't remember.
Yeah, no, she wasn't. I would know.
Okay.
okay. I am a Moondragon fan.
You and no one else.
I think that's accurate. Oh, God, why am I blanking on the fifth member? Adam, Pip, Drax.
Me? Am I the fifth member?
You. Gamora. Well, that's right. Gamora, Moondragon, so that's five. And then Thanos ended up being six.
Yeah.
So you have almost all of them there. We're going to do this, Marvel. We're going to fucking do this Infinity Watch, and you're going to do it right. Why are we threatening Marvel?
I don't know. You should write them a letter.
I should write them a strongly worded letter.
You really should.
Anyway, so Drax is in these bonds, and he is like... He's like yelling for Iron Man to hear him, and he's like,
yeah,
"Iron
he's
Man,
like, beware!"
He's like, "Fear, message of fear and dread. Heed me, Iron Man. Beware, beware!" And he's all yelling.
Yeah, he's like, "I am Drax the Destroyer." Blah blah. So then
he's telling them to beware the Blood Brothers.
Yeah,
and it's like he's getting his ass kicked.
Yeah, so that's what we cut to. We cut to Iron Man getting his ass kicked in his office or home office, either one, by the Blood Brothers, who, by the way, are wearing like loafers.
They're wearing weird. They always.
What
wear...
is going on with that? What because these looks like. I mean, I think it's just the coloring, but it looks like they're wearing slouchy white socks, and like loafers you'd wear with slacks.
Well, they're wearing those. I think what's the idea is that they're supposed to be wearing these boots. Those boots that are like big and cuffed.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking
about?
That,
yeah. But that's not what that looks like.
But it looks like they're just wearing, they're just
men's casual loafers.
Yeah. They're wearing, you know, Doc Martin loafers.
No, not even. It's just like he's wearing a pair of Sperry's.
I was trying to think of a good shoe. I'll leave that to you.
There you go. There's fucking Docksiders. It's just like, I'm going to put these on. Then he's got his like white slouch socks from back in the day. Either that or socks where the elastic has come out. And they're just like, meh.
Yeah. You're
sad. And I'm like, what's going on here?
Yeah, and they're pounding on Iron Man. And he's throwing them around. But he hears this message. And he's like, yeah. Whoa, I heard that. And I need to be aware.
Right.
Where, obviously. And
so but he gets knocked out.
And they take him into a little squat ship.
They take him in a ship, and they...
That can't be comfortable.
No, and they take him to Saturn.
They take him to the squat... I like the squat ship.
Yeah, it really...
Should we take them to Saturn?
Either Saturn or Titan. Hang on. Take them one of the two.
No. They take him to the Southwest. Because
Southwest.
Because Drax is being held captive by Thanos, who we get to see later.
He's not on Titan?
No.
Oh.
We get to hear, though, because later he gets a message from Titan.
Oh, okay.
But Thanos is here in America.
I mean, why else? Why not?
America.
Why not?
Thanos is here in America, and Thanos is like, I'm going to like hang out in like Arizona or some shit and like get some Tex-Mex and hang out with Bobby Flay.
Yeah, fair enough.
Bobby Flay is making some egg rolls, you know. And
some Southwestern egg rolls.
Right, off screen here, we don't see Drax is in bonds here. Bobby Flay is making...
Is he having one of his throwdown challenges with like some dude who runs like a taco cart or whatever?
Yeah,
you know, what are like the famous big name taco cart?
Drax is ruining this the throwdown.
What I'd really like is if Bobby Flay was just like, and here I am in the middle of nowhere, pick a state, Indiana, in like where all there are chain restaurants. And he's like, I'm throwing down with this guy from TGI Fridays or whatever. Why does
and then he
that
loses?
And then he loses. He's like,
well, he always loses.
He always loses.
I don't think I've ever watched an episode where
I got so mad once watching Bobby because he was like, I'm going to throw down with this woman who makes cookies.
Yeah.
These chocolate chip cookies. And this woman had these very nicely shaped chocolate chip cookies. They look like chocolate chip cookies. Every single time Bobby Flay did it, it looked like something that I would pull out of my oven if I made a mistake. They were all like melty and gross looking. And he's like, these are my great cookies. I'm like, fuck you, Bobby Flay. Yeah. Like, I was all mad.
Yeah, he should be stick to making Southwest egg rolls.
Yeah.
So the Blood Brothers take Iron Man and they go to Southwest. There's like, I want to say real quick, there's like 30 panels just for it to be like, and then the ship comes, and then they get in the ship, and then they fly here.
And they're very cozy in the ship. They're all snuggled up together. They kind of look like, you know, like kittens, just all curled up waiting for mom.
And then they show up, and now we're over where wherever Drax is, and yep. We don't see Thanos, but he's sitting in this chair, and he's like, Thanos, how'd you get here? And Thanos is like, I've been watching you all along, you idiot.
Yeah.
Or literally, he's just called a simple-minded dolt. But he's just like, fuck you, I've been watching you. Because you hate me. Because the original origin of Drax is he is a being that was...
Well, we're going to get to that.
Right.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that.
Yeah.
But, you know, he hates, he's like, I'm watching you because you hate me.
Yeah.
So he's trapped up and he's like, whatever, I'm going to kick
your
ass.
He's like, I know that you're like connecting with somebody telepathically. And he's like, oh, let me remember what's going on and how I reached out to Tony Stark. So he said that he reached out telepathically to Tony Stark, but he did it too hard.
Yeah.
And like gave him like a serious migraine when he was in a business meeting.
Yeah.
And so then he, you know, Tony Stark left.
He gets a migraine. And
he's like,
because he's in the middle of this meeting. He's like, all right, we've got this research. And
also, he's got this weird, like, very thin mustache going on.
That's what he does, yeah.
It's a little disturbing.
I once experimented with a thin mustache.
Would it be like an Errol Flynn mustache?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's how he looks. You know,
how do we feel about men with thin mustaches?
Like
a John Waters.
Yeah. I don't know.
John Waters does it because he's a creep, and he has completely embraced that about himself, and therefore it's okay.
Like, right.
Can anybody else get away with it? I don't know. I don't think so. Not anymore.
I don't know. What about Robert Downey Jr.? Probably does it. Not to, or just the, he has the goatee.
He has the goatee. He doesn't have the mustache.
Yeah.
Like, well, he has like the, yeah.
He has the full goatee.
Yeah, but he doesn't have like a thin mustache. I mean, he's like Gomez Adams.
Yeah.
You can pull that off if you're a Gomez.
There's a few others. There was a, God, what was, Matches Malone.
Okay. Yes, well, Matches Malone has his own problems. Could you imagine just be like walking in and like somebody's like, hey, this is Bill, our IT guy, and he's got like a pencil thin mustache.
You look like Matches Malone. Yeah, no, that'd be like, you'd be like, I don't want to trust that guy.
And he's like got a match hanging out of his mouth and you're just like,
oh, no, just the mustache by itself would kind of,
yeah, right, like especially in, yeah,
in 2018. In 2018, pencil thin mustache is something to watch out for.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, so
it's nefarious.
It is. That means that the,
that guy's up to something.
He's up to the goods. Real quick, too, before we move on to what's going on with Tony here, I want to point out Drax's intense eyebrows.
Oh, yeah. I thought those were eyelashes.
I don't know. He's got some.
They're kind of connected.
He's got a connected eyebrow eyelash.
It's really disturbing. It's like if Martin Scorsese's eyebrows just grew into his eyeballs. And it's kind of upsetting to be quite. But you know how I am with eyebrows.
Can you imagine if that was the thing where he's like on the red carpet and they're like, Martin Scorsese, what do you want to say about your film? He's like, look, my eyebrows have grown to my eyelash, or my eyebrows have grown to my eyeballs. And people are like,
and people are like, we knew it was coming.
He's like, well, you know,
paid anybody to trim them, huh?
You should be. Somebody's just like, the interviewer's just like, you should go see a doctor. He's like, fuck you, and he leaves.
Yeah, you should see a doctor about that.
That's in the interview we need.
Mm-hmm.
That's a celebrity interview we need, guys.
That's the only one I need.
But I actually, it'd be a great science fiction movie he can do about his eyebrows growing into his eyeballs.
It's like a Twilight Zone.
It reminds me of an episode of, speaking of Gomez Adams, an episode of The Outer Limits, of the revised version with starring John Astin. Or no, maybe it was somebody. It was Dennis Farina. It was somebody.
Mm.
It was somebody who had a pencil thin mustache.
Okay.
And he was losing his hair and he took like a thing to grow more hair.
Mm-hmm.
And he grew all the hair.
Okay.
And it was pretty, pretty messed up.
Man, I loved The Outer Limits.
Yeah.
I really did. When it came back.
Yeah, it was on Showtime.
Well, before that, it was on. They showed it after the X-Files for a little bit.
I think might have been after, because Showtime had it was like right on before the sexy shows.
Oh, maybe. Mm. All I know is when I saw it, it was on after the X-Files. And then it was gone.
Right.
But I was like, oh, this is the best thing ever, because I get to watch the X-Files, and then I get to watch this fucking creepy show. So I got two creepy shows back to back.
I never got into this Twilight Zone, but I always felt that The Outer Limits was like a poor man's Twilight Zone.
Oh, absolutely, 100%.
I think a lot
of people. And I never got into the Twilight Zone either. I think maybe just because like the time period and all that sort of stuff.
Well, they did bring it back too.
Yeah.
In the 80s. I remember seeing that. I've seen a few episodes of that on CBS.
I feel like maybe I should watch The Twilight Zone.
You know what a show I want to...
It's a lot of it, though.
You know what show I feel like I might want to go back and watch if it's available is Amazing Stories. Do you remember Amazing Stories?
No.
It was Steven Spielberg's Amazing Stories. And it was basically like Twilight Zone, but like for like really big fantasy stuff. And there was one episode I remember distinctly where a kid learned how to do... Like a teenager learned how to do science. And he learned that if he created some sort of concoction... that if you poured it on a magazine, if you like poured it on like a girl magazine, mm-hmm. the girl would come to life out of the magazine.
Are you sure that wasn't just Weird Science, the movie?
I think it was definitely inspired by Weird Science, but I do remember seeing this. I need to find it. You know, we could do another podcast. Huh. It's called Sean Remembers. And it's just a bunch of things that I recall incorrectly, but probably did happen.
That's pretty much what this podcast is right now.
I think that's what, you know what? I think it is. We're like 55 minutes in, and we've only got like three pages into this book. So Tony, the people at this meeting are like, Tony, we like need to do his meeting. He's like, fuck you, my head hurts.
Yeah,
goodbye.
He's having like, he like almost collapses, and they're like, he's like, oh, no, my head, it's weird. And instead of being like, man, maybe you should sit down there, like, let's get back to these reports. I'm like, you people are assholes.
Especially talking to Tony. Like, just let Tony do what he's got to do.
Shit, dude, if that man almost collapses while he's running a meeting, get him a chair. Make sure he's okay.
Although I bet he's done that a lot.
Well, yeah.
So Tony goes into his office, and he's got his Iron Man plate on because he's still wearing it because of his tart.
Okay.
And so he opens up his briefcase.
Which looks like a 1980s boombox.
It does, yeah, the way that everything's kind of situated in there. And he puts on we get to see him put on his Iron Man armor. And it's always fascinated me that he, so basically, you know, this is the classic red and yellow Iron Man.
Yes.
But he has, so he puts on like his boots and his gloves and. Mm-hmm.
But it looks like he has like some sort of like cloth thing that's held up by magnets.
It's a mesh.
That goes between the shoulders and the gloves, between the underwear and the boots.
Right.
So that's technically not really armor. And then he's got these weird hip circles.
Yeah. Well, they're his power pods.
Oh.
He needs those for energy.
I see.
Or he keeps his cliff bars on there.
Yeah.
Because his suit is powered by cliff bars.
Like, you're obviously like not a woman. That's just going to make you look wider. Yeah. Don't do that.
Yeah. So, yeah. But he's putting on his thing, and he's, you know, you get to see him wearing his little helmet without the face paint. It just
looks so weird.
Well, the helmet, with the way that the helmet's done without the face paint now is because he has like this weird, like, widow's peak
helmet. He's got a widow's peak helmet.
Yeah.
He looks like, you know, they show those. Oh, I'm trying to think of like what kind of like astronauts wear those, like just the thing on their heads, or just shows their face, and then they put the helmet over it or whatever.
So yeah, so as this is happening, and he's like, okay, he gets another
message
from Drax, and Drax is like, know me, but help me, and he's like, fuck, all right,
yeah, this one does not cripple him.
But as that's happening, we get to see at night when the Blood Brothers show up.
Oh, okay.
And I like this because there's a security guard is like, oh, who's that guy? And then he gets closer and he's like, oh, that guy's ugly. And then the Blood Brothers just run in, which I don't know why. They're just there. They're just show up. Like, why is one dressed like the Thing?
That's a good question.
I think it's because they have the same kind of face.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I think they're like, oh, we have to wear a trench coat.
Yeah. We're required to wear it.
Either that or we're flashers. One or the other.
So basically,
we learn what the origin of Thanos
and the origin of Titan
and Titan and Drax.
Because I want to point out, we get introduced to not only, to Titan, because we learn about Titan, we learn about Isaac, the supercomputer.
Yeah, that is inside of Titan.
Which is one of Saturn's moons.
Yes, and it's like a paradise. It's like the self-contained paradise where the Titans live, and they're very advanced.
Right, they're very advanced, and basically they were doing a bunch of like science, but like Thanos is one of those dudes, and he was shitty. And then basically...
Well, because it's the Mentor who's like the leader.
Well, here we got Mentor. We have... These are the first appearance of Mentor... Star Fox and Eros. Thanos, or Eros.
Yeah,
Star Fox looks nothing like.
No,
because here's the, for some reason all Mentor.
They're all purple.
Mentor, Thanos, or Thanos is purple.
Yeah,
we don't see his face, but Thanos is purple, and Mentor and Eros are purple as well. Which they did not go in. And Eros has like this inverted, like this blue costume. It's weird. It's very weird for me to see.
Mm-hmm.
As somebody who is a fan of Titan, these characters.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, yeah, Thanos is being shitty. And
yeah,
because like,
Thanos is like, you know what? I'm going to build weapons. I'm going to take this shit over.
So he, but they're like, no. And then they exiled him. And basically, he took off in his Winnebago.
Yeah, that's really what it looks like.
Well, he has this ship called Sanctuary One, I think it's called.
It's a Winnebago.
It's basically a Winnebago.
He's parking it out by LAX.
Yeah. He's parking it by LAX. He's getting, you know, he's waiting for, you know, he's going in and out. And
yeah.
He's farting around. And basically what he does is he goes across the cosmos.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, weird people.
Hey,
monster.
Dregs of society.
Hey, dregs of society.
Would you like to hang out with me and maybe kill? And they're like, yeah, I'm not doing anything else.
Yeah. And I don't know how he's paying them, but apparently he's paying them.
I mean, in murder.
Oh, yeah.
Be like, if you work with me, you get to murder.
That's Thanos.
That's enough.
That's the thing that, like, a lot of times you'll read, when you read Thanos stories, he's like, yeah, you know, he just gets a bunch of people to do shit for him, even though he's, like, super powerful and super, like, intimidating.
Because
like,
he's smart.
He's smart.
That's it.
He's
like, I don't want to do all this work, so I'm just going to pay other people to do it for me.
He is a smart heel.
That's how you do it.
Yeah.
Just pay people to do shit.
So then we get to learn where Mentor is like, yo, Thanos sucks. And he goes to his father, who is Kronos, who is a face in space that looks like Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, he really does.
And he's like, yo, we need to like do something about this. He's like, look.
My son sucks. So like, could you help me?
Like, one of my sons sucks.
Your grandson is a piece of garbage.
Yeah. Your grandson is fucking up.
Perhaps you could help me. Rein him in, and he's like, good idea. So he's like,
why don't you like create like a murderous thing that wants to kill Thanos?
He's like, done.
And he's like, sure. And he uses like one of his eyes
to like zap some soil somewhere.
Well, this is the thing that we don't get to see all about Drax, where Drax is basically imbued with the hatred of Thanos, yeah, and he goes after Thanos.
Well, he's just formed,
yeah,
out of like the earth, and he becomes Drax, and he's like, I fucking hate Thanos.
Yeah,
all I want to do is kill Thanos.
Yeah,
that is my purpose. Can't wait.
Yeah, but Thanos, like, you know, kind of like blows up a planet.
Drax has to like fight his way through like a bunch of dudes, and yeah, he still can't get to Thanos. But man, does he want to kill him.
Right. And so Thanos, and the thing about Drax too is, like, we learn eventually, you know, he was Art Douglas, who was a saxophone player. Thanos flew his ship over around this time, mm-hmm, when all this is going on. He flew his ship over over Earth, and he's like, hey, that car might have saw me. Murders the car. Heather Douglas, who is Art Douglas's daughter, mm-hmm, survives. She gets, this happens, Kronos and like mentors see this, and they're like, hey, grab that spirit that's going up into the air.
Mm-hmm.
We'll put that back into the earth. We're going to make Drax out of this. And then grab that guy's daughter. We're going to make her Moon Dragon.
Okay.
So that's how that went.
I see.
Grab that guy's daughter. Give that guy powers. Yeah. So basically, we're caught up to where we are now.
Yeah.
And so basically, I think Drax connects with, you know, we learned that he's connected with Iron Man, and we find this out on...
Yeah, because Mentor's also kind of monitoring that there's some sort of, like, on Titan, mentoring that there's mental activity from Drax. So he's like, okay, well, something is going on. Just keep trying to zero in on whatever's going on down there. So Iron Man's like, all right, I got the message, and now...
So now we're caught up.
Now we're caught up, and they take him off the little tiny ship where they were all curled up like kittens, and he's unconscious. Well, he's playing unconscious. He's not actually unconscious. And as soon as he gets the opportunity, he like shakes them off, and he zaps them with his hand. So the Blood Brothers.
Yeah.
And now he's running around trying to find Drax.
And so Drax directs him to it. It kind of like Jor-El and Superman. He's like, go to the left, open the door, shoot that person.
Yeah. Space Dad.
So he shows up and he sees Drax, and so they meet, and then Iron Man's like, Dr. Destroyer, I presume. Sorry, Earth joke.
Yeah.
And and Drax is like, yay! And so he's like, look, blow up this thing so I can get out.
Yeah, he's like, but you have to stand like directly in front of me. And Iron Man's like, yeah, whatever, I'm not listening. And then he kind of... get his beam zaps back on himself and knocks him down.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh shit, you weren't kidding. And then here comes
Thanos,
who steps on his hand.
We just see a bunch of purple legs, and now we finally get to see the full length Thanos.
Yep.
This is Thanos's debut. He looks
purple,
skinny.
Yeah.
Compared to how he is.
Not humongously massive like he usually is portrayed.
Also,
I mean, he's big, but he's not like huge,
showing lots of skin too.
Oh yeah.
I feel like he doesn't always have the, like, I feel like he's had the skirt. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because I feel like, you know, eventually he got huge. Yeah, he started lifting some weights.
No, I mean like even taller and stuff. Like he's just kind of a regular size right now.
Yeah, he's kind of I mean, he's still beefy.
Yeah, he's still beefy, but I mean he's only like, you know, like 6'2".
Yeah.
Like I feel like he gets to be like 9 something eventually. Yeah. Like he's just ginormous.
Yeah, he's kind of swole. You know, he hasn't discovered monkey steroids yet.
Not yet. He hasn't been on Earth long enough.
And like, you know, Iron Man's
hasn't been
like,
watching wrestling.
Yeah, he hasn't been watching. He hasn't gotten to the 80s yet.
Yeah, not yet.
Where he hasn't gotten.
Where he's like, oh, say my prayers and vitamins, huh?
The Hulk boys Hogan. Need their candy, and so does Thanos.
Yeah.
You know, so anyways, like, hi, I'm Thanos. Fuck you, Iron Man, and like. And Iron Man's like, I'll spit on your boots. And he's like, ah, shut up.
Yeah,
and
fuck
then
you.
So they...
That's his buddies.
So meanwhile...
Mentor has like zeroed in on this mental shit that's going on.
Yeah.
So he's like, okay, aim at that. I'm firing up this laser.
He calls it Project Freedom.
Yes, he's like, get Project Freedom.
Get Project Freedom ready.
He's been hanging out with a conservative think tank for a very long time. He's like, this is what we name everything.
Oh, man, is he going to be on Fox News?
He is. He's their
we have mentor from Titan on to discuss conservative principles.
Yeah.
You are pushing what is known as Project Freedom. He's like, yes, I'm going to shoot a beam into Iron Man's chest.
He's like...
It's like, oh, wait, we picked the wrong guy.
Comet pizza. And they're like, thank you very much. So anyway, so he gets his beam ready.
Alex Jones teams up with Mentor in Project Freedom.
And now they're going to sell you supplements.
What if this was just being Alex Jones, like a purple Alex Jones without a shirt, just being like, chemtrails, and he just shoots it.
Or maybe, I mean, Alex Jones gets really mad. Maybe he'll eventually turn this color.
Oh, man. Future Alex Jones.
Because, I mean, he gets very red.
He's so red he became purple.
And that won't go away. He looks like he bathed in Kool-Aid. Like, I don't know what's happening. They zap this thing. It zaps down towards Earth. It hits Iron Man, like, right in his little arc reactor.
Yeah.
Which then creates a huge beam that frees Drax.
Yeah, huge chest beam frees Drax. And then Drax is like, fine.
Time to throw down, bitches.
Let's beat up these Horshack-looking motherfuckers.
And that's exactly what he does.
Yeah. We get a bunch of fighting. Some good brawling here.
Yeah, there's definitely some definite brawling.
There's some good fighting in this issue. Yeah. I like it.
Lots of fighting.
Drax is kicking ass, and Iron Man's helping him. And they're like, yo, man, we're fucking pretty good at this shit.
Yeah.
You know, they're throwing these gnarly looking dudes around, and I don't know why they're very real quick. I think they're actually called the Blood Brothers because they require blood.
Ew.
Because at one point, one of them tries to bite the thing.
How'd that go?
Not well.
Yeah, figures.
Ben Grimm was like, "Hey, my Tootsies," or something, and because one of them was like, "Chomp." Some weird ass. It's like, oh, it's like me biting me.
Gross.
So basically, they're beating up these guys, and they're like, look,
we gotta get Thanos.
You know, how'd you do? I mean, because he's like, yeah, you linked up with your home talent or whatever, or your home
planet, whatever,
and
your moon.
And so the Thanos is like, yo, I'm gonna like blow up this fortress because you guys are here, you guys are free.
And he's like, you wouldn't do it, Thanos, because you would die. And he's like, yeah, I think he would. He's like that fucking petty.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm taking all of us down.
And so Thanos, like...
Drax, doesn't he, like, zap him or something?
Yeah, this is when Drax had, like, hand-shooty powers. Yeah. He used to have concussive blasts, which he doesn't have now. He's just kind of, like, Dave Bautista strong.
Yeah.
And Iron Man, I gotta say, throughout this issue, like, Iron Man's just kind of like...
He doesn't really do much,
and he just kind of comments on stuff, and he's like, at one point, he's like, holy Toledo! Oh, man, looks what... And he's like, hey, good moves, Draxy boy. I'm like,
yeah.
Could you just, like, do something? Like, I kind of like when you do stuff.
Well, and they, like, Iron Man comes and he punches Thanos, and we find out that this Thanos is actually a robot.
Yeah, like, he cracks open his head like a fucking...
It looks like an egg.
Like an egg?
And there's all sorts of circuitry inside. And they're like, oh my God, it's just a robot. This isn't the real Thanos.
And they're like, well, why do you think it's a robot? It's like, well, it's because it's a booby trap.
Yeah.
And just at that moment,
and everything
things explode.
And so they have to like flee.
And they do just in time.
And they do.
And they're like, yo, we got out.
Yay, just in time. It's awesome. And they stand there like watching the smoldering ruins. And they're like, you know what?
And Bobby, because
let's be friends.
Well, what happened was Bobby Flay exploded the egg roll.
Oh, well, yeah. He didn't realize the gas was up too high.
He's like, I'm about to throw down. And then he threw down and it exploded.
Yeah. Well, that's a shame.
But this was the end of Bobby Flay.
It was also the end of the Food Network. They were like, oh, we just showed this guy's... And then they play it forever. They're like, we're just going to show you the episode where Bobby Flay gets killed.
And then
just like over and over again.
No, but what happened was...
Because that's all we do is show reruns.
After that happened... They just played an American flag with Bobby Flay's face kind of superimposed over it, like very faintly.
Yeah.
And it was just like America the Beautiful. And that's
maybe it's like I'm proud to be an American, but like they got Lee Greenwood to do like I was proud to be Bobby Flay, and like he like
proud to be Southwest egg roll.
Yeah, like he got him to like rewrite the lyrics, and that's like all it is now.
I like that.
Yeah,
maybe
every once in a while an ad for a Chrysler.
I would like for Lee Greenwood to release his classic album American Patriot. I think that's what it's called.
Sure.
With just his face over American with you know, his a painting of his face in the background of American flag, but this one is the special Bobby Flay edition.
Yeah.
And in the corner there's a little egg roll.
And it just says like instead of American Patriot, it's like American pastry.
American flaky crust Tex-Mex.
Yeah. It's just like America's chef.
Chef Pete Lee Greenwood tribute to
Bobby Flay who died tragically when he threw down just too hard
when he threw down in Thanos' southwestern sanctuary. And Iron Man and Drax just stood there and was like, hey, that's kind of cool.
And then,
hey, cool.
And then every single time somebody like flips past that Food Network channel when they're in the gym, they're like, do you think him and January Jones were fucking or what?
Oh, really? Was that a thing?
That was like a rumor. I don't know if it was an actual thing.
Hey,
and
right.
Then, you know, you just keep going. And they're like, I guess I'll watch these weird brothers who are just like clones of what people should look like, but they're not. They're basically robots.
What if Bobby, would that mean that Bobby Flay could have been in an episode of Mad Men at some point?
I think he actually played Bobby Draper.
He was one of the many Bobby Drapers.
Yes.
He's one of the. He also played Baby Jean a few times.
Yeah, a couple times. It's kind of weird because all of a sudden Baby Jean's head's just real big.
He's just out there making egg rolls, you know?
Yeah.
He's just out there on the, you know, making egg rolls and they just leave him on the grass when they're done eating.
Yeah, yeah. And they just walk away.
Just walk away.
It's like, he's fine.
It's a very special madman.
Yeah.
I like that.
And the baby just rolls down a hill.
I like that's how this episode of Mad Men, which is like CGI Bobby Flay head. Just on one of the on the baby, and you're just like, oh, all right. And he's like,
someone should CGI Bobby Flay into more things.
Yeah, why are we doing that?
Yeah, we should.
Do you think maybe in Infinity War when the Guardians come to Earth,
mm-hmm.
that the stinger scene is Drax confronting Bobby Flay?
Yes,
or the Drax going to Bobby Flay's grave?
Yes,
and say like, I remember when we blew you up.
I'm like, really sorry.
Him and Iron Man just being like, yo, that's where we met. This guy. And we are friends.
Yeah. And the tombstone just says threw down too hard.
I like, and then at the end it says, but really we get to see a thing that says, no, Bobby Flay's were harmed in the filming of this movie. Catering by Bobby Flay. In movie catering and real life catering by Bobby Flay.
Yeah, yeah. The real Bobby Flay is alive.
The real Bobby Flay at the it's like Ass Dan.
Yeah, I'm alive.
Bobby Flay is alive. Infinity War Part 2. Bobby Flay lives.
Oh man.
I like where this went.
Yeah, it went to a good place.
It went to a good place. So anyways, they're standing on this. I don't know why they're talking so long. They're just like, hey, we did pretty good. Yeah. Can we be friends?
All right. Shake, shake. Bye, friend. Wave.
It's like the longest, like, goodbye. It's like, goodbye. Shake my hand. Maybe. Yes. Shake.
Yeah,
shake.
It's very awkward.
Just a lot of very dramatic goodbye here.
Yeah, and that's it.
To the point where he's like, you know, Drax is flying away, and he's like, all right, goodbye. And I was like,
farewell. Like, yeah.
Yeah, and then that's it for the issue. And just, it says at the bottom, just, we don't get the letters page, but it says, just in time for Rasputin.
Oh, man. Rasputin.
Is it the Rasputin?
Yes. He's going to be like, you know, my dick was huge.
Wait, what?
Yeah, that's the whole thing. Like, Rasputin. Apparently, his penis is actually on display in, like, Paris somewhere.
Shut up.
No, I'm not even kidding. Rasputin had a huge dong.
But they saved it?
Well, he was ripped apart.
But did they? Was somebody like, we got to keep this?
I don't know.
Put this in formaldehyde.
Yeah.
Are you looking that up?
I am going to look it up. I don't know exactly. Because that was the whole thing.
The sort of research we do in this podcast.
The whole thing was that Rasputin was supposed to have like a magical dick, like that was the
fucking or just in general.
Well, that's why the Tsarina listened to him. That was the whole thing, right? Like that's why she listened to, even though he could, like, because, you know, her son
that sounds like
had hemophilia because they were also fucking inbred, that Rasputin was the only one who could kind of make him comfortable because he was just in so much pain all the time. So that's really why she liked him. But the whole thing was, oh, it's because he's fucking all these women in the Russian court. So this is the thing. And apparently this is not true, but let me see.
Horseshit. You brought it up, I believe.
No. I mean, like, it wasn't true that he was, you know.
It wasn't true that he was fucking?
No, it wasn't true that that's why she kept him around.
Oh.
But
his dick is saved.
Well, this is what we're going to find out.
Oh.
Because that's the rumor, is that his dick is on display in, like, Paris. Like, this has been the rumor for a long time. So, maybe it'll say.
Is it just, like, one long room with, like, a big dick in it?
Yeah.
It's just, like, this
I was... think they're saying that it's not... It's just a big, like, ditzy.
Rasputin was poisoned, shot, and did his penis survive? Okay. Well,
yeah.
What does it say? This is very important, guys.
Sexual escapades, blah, 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 blah. Hitler's penis was supposedly bequeathed to his son? Gross.
Hitler's son?
Yeah, I was like, is that a thing? Did Hitler have a son?
Oh, man. That sounds like...
Oh, yeah. John Dillinger's penis is supposed to be alive. That's not...
Wait, the penis is still alive?
No, like, kept. Oh. That's probably not true.
Was he a huge hog?
That's the rumor.
Was the Dillinger escape plan? Is that where the band got that name? Because they were going to use his gang was going to use his penis to escape out of banks?
Yeah. So they don't... They think... This is a rumor. Nobody thinks his penis is actually real. They don't think anybody...
Oh, okay.
Actually has it. But the rumor for so long has been that Rasputin's penis is like hanging around. Kind of the same thing with John Dillinger. His penis was humongous and they kept it and blah, 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 blah. Mm. Again, not true.
You learn a lot of things on this show, folks.
Yeah.
I think you are truly in the age of information.
Yeah, I mean.
With this podcast.
Look up, you know, Rasputin's penis if you're bored.
Yeah, if you're bored. If you're bored. If you're not bored, don't do it.
Yeah, don't do it at work either.
Do real things.
Do your job.
Whatever is the last thing that you have to, whatever you haven't done in your life, do all that.
And
then look up Rasputin's penis.
And John Dillinger's penis and Napoleon's penis.
Napoleon's penis?
Apparently that was also, people say Napoleon's penis is hanging out somewhere.
Wait, so.
This is all, who's keeping these penises? Like, seriously, like, are you just like. Historical moment. Better save it. Chop. Like what? Like after the guy's dead? Like
what? You gonna tell me next that they kept Lincoln's penis?
They definitely did. I've never heard a rumor that they kept Lincoln's penis.
You figured somebody would.
He was a
beloved man.
We're keeping everybody else's penises. We might as well keep his.
Oh boy.
If we kept, I mean, how many fucking penises? We even find penises everywhere.
Those penises are being stored in the warehouse at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yes. Or at the end of the pilot of the X-Files.
same place.
Same place. It's all that creepy government warehouse.
You know, that's a thing you should have asked Dean Haglund.
Are there penises in there?
Excuse me. At the end of the pilot of the X-Files, are they storing penises? Famous penises? Can I find Lincoln's penis in the basement of the Pentagon or whatever, wherever they keep it?
The answer is yes. Yes, you can.
Dean Haglund will just be like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure. That's a thing.
Yeah, sure. Here's a pass. Go use it.
Go find it.
Here, one free pass to see the penises, please. Take me to the government-held penises.
See the penises, please.
God damn you, Iron Man.
This is all Iron Man's fault.
I really hope that the next issue is just like...
Do you think do you think they kept Milton Berle's penis?
They should have.
Right? He's got a hog. He had a hog.
Well, apparently he was called Pizza Box. Because apparently he was able to stretch it across the
length. No. I mean, we're not talking like a modern day pizza box.
What it was.
Hey, order a pizza box the size of your fucking table because we're just gluttonous Americans and we need to
not a party pizza. We're talking like a usual 12-inch pizza.
Okay. That's it's still ridiculous.
You know,
like stretch it, like
that's what the rumor is.
Whap it, just like whap.
I think he just hung it out and then he just went diameter wise. You know, I mean, technically, you can say you can call yourself Pizza Box if you're measuring. You know, most guys can be like, you know, go across like an Elio's pizza.
I mean, like one of those like ones that you put in the toaster, like a Tostitos pizza.
Do a Hot Pocket. Call yourself Hot Pocket.
I mean, seriously, you can be like, I'm Pizza Box. You put yourself across a Hot Pocket box.
They call me Pizza Box, Hot Pocket.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Without knowing what. Pizza? Was he talking like bagel pizzas? What are we talking here?
Well, he's like, I can fit myself across 12 bagel pizzas.
You're like, oh, I mean, okay. Yeah.
There was, I used to do that one commercial where for bagel pizzas, Tony Hawk was in it, and he was like,
was it when it was extreme?
Yeah, because there were a bunch of kids got like bagels and like Tony, and then Tony Hawk just showed up, and he was like eating the bagel pizzas, and they're like, hey, Tony Hawk, what's up? He's like, hey. And he's like, can I have a Beetle Bagels back? He's like, nah, man. And he just leaves. He's like, I gotta use Milton Berle. We gotta measure his penis. Gotta get to him before he dies.
Yeah, because what if he had tiny, I mean, like, what if he had like a Barbie sized pizza box? He's like, I'm a pizza box.
Why aren't you looking that up on your phone?
Some things need to remain a mystery.
Well, you know what we're doing after this episode. Anyways, that's it for Iron Man number 55 from February 1973. Would you read the next issue of Iron Man, continuing the saga of Rasputin and his gigantic cock?
Aren't you
intrigued?
Well, it's not actual Rasputin.
I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe he goes to Paris and he looks at the dick.
Maybe. I mean, I watched
and
it.
And everybody goes, that's a good dick. Oh, look, there's a villain.
You know, this was never answered in Anastasia, the animated movie.
Oh. How dare they leave that out?
I mean, maybe. This is one of those, you know, it's kind of in the older vein of comics. I could probably I could read this.
It's Jim Starlin, though, so it gets weird.
Oh, but, yeah.
But I like drugs. That. Yeah, drugs.
Yeah.
Drugs, 70s drugs.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, we're not fucking around here.
I think, like, in the 70s, they just, like, came to your house. It was just like
pizza boxes.
Yeah, and there was like, the government wants you to take these. You're like, I don't know.
The government wants you to take
everybody
these.
Everybody needs to be high. Continue.
I think that's what they did for comic book writers. Bob Haney definitely did his share.
Well, they were just like, oh, hey, you've been hired. Here's your benefits package.
Also has drugs in it.
Here's a key to the restroom. This is where you park your car. And this is the cocaine room.
Cocaine.
Come in whenever you want.
Or LSD.
Or the LSD room.
You know.
One of the two.
You also get some speed. It was a Valium, too. Mm-hmm. We're doing all that in the 70s. Quaaludes.
Yeah.
See, you knew it.
I know.
Well, that's it for this week's episode, then. Thank you for listening. Yeah, I would read this, too, by the way.
Yeah.
One day, I probably
have the next one, don't you?
Probably do not, because not collected either, but one day, I'm going to go Iron Man crazy.
Oh, shit.
You watch.
Okay. I am prepared.
I'm prepared to buy a bunch of Iron Man volumes because
oh god,
I feel that I am.
We need more space.
We'll just do trades.
Okay,
trades are
or digital.
Digital, yeah. See, I'm Iron Man. I feel like Iron Man as a character. If I committed to Iron Man as a kid, I'd be the fucking coolest kid right now. Coolest kid. I would never grow up. I would just be really interested.
Sean Merrick, 37-year-old kid.
The 37-year-old kid, Sean Merrick story. Yeah, but I'm into it. So, yeah, that's it for this book. Thanks for listening. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Angry Hero. I'm at Angry Hero Sean.
And I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram. You can find us on Facebook, Worst Collection Ever. You can email us, worstcollectionever@gmail.com.
I have not checked that address in a while.
Yeah, so you guys may have been emailing us, and we haven't looked. Because we suck.
One day we'll look, and one day we'll do more listener requests and stuff.
There's probably a bunch of emails like, fuck you guys. And we're probably just a bunch of fair enough.
Garbage. Not like listener people and things, but like just like
hey, do you want your band to do well?
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, thank you.
It's like, I don't have a band. Yeah, so now maybe if it's Mudvayne. Yeah, but see, I'm doing callbacks.
I've been really good
today.
I'm so proud of you.
So yeah, check us out all those places, email us, leave us a review
wherever.
On Apple Podcasts, wherever you get the show. 5 stars, give us a high rating. We would really appreciate that. And today is a very special day when we're recording this. It is Jen's birthday.
It is my birthday.
So happy birthday, babe.
Thank you.
I wanted to announce that on the air.
Oh, thank you.
Even though when you listen to it on Thursday,
it will no longer be my birthday.
No longer be your birthday, but
it is today.
We had a good birthday day today. I bought you a Batman cake.
You did. It was so exciting. I love it. And you can see a picture of it on my Instagram. There's Batman cake. There was a Batman cookie.
There was a Batman cookie.
Very exciting.
Yeah, so good times. So thanks for listening, folks, and we'll talk again soon.
Bye. We'll